This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now, you've heard over the past few weeks there's all sorts of things going on, and this is a time for change. Now, Lee Harris got talking with some people in America about revealing the hidden war for Earth's future and how the light can win. So that sounds promising, doesn't it?
There is a fight for control of Earth. Right now, World War III is very appealing to some of the powers that be. It helps them put in place the control systems they would like to see. Humans have been fed a story that going to war will keep them safe, and in fact, it is the opposite.
Lee Harris is a globally recognized spiritual teacher. Today, he's going to be channeling the Z's. That's his spirit guides that have been speaking to him for decades.
If you need a moment,
it shouldn't take longer than a minute. A pleasure to be here with you. We are aware you have a lot of questions for us.
We're in a very precarious time. Safety, privacy, artificial intelligence.
It feels like we're on the brink of a World War III.
You are in what we would call a storm period. It is very hard if you are a feeling sensitive person. It is why some of you are having doom dreams, seeing tidal waves engulf the earth or parts of the country. What we have said is there are going to be a certain disasters during this period of time. COVID was the first warning sign and exposure of who to believe and who not. But there are activists who are now building a different future, and they are beings who have sat across the table from these warlords. The dark only has so much power. Earth is not supposed to go down a backwards dark path. There are enough benevolent forces that will not allow that to happen. This is an urgent time to shift you all forward into a brighter timeline. Hope is not a falsehood. Hope is an energy that people build from. Hope is a future timeline that you can make possible.
Hi, I'm Mayim Bialik.
And I'm Jonathan Cohen.
And welcome to our breakdown. What if you could ask some sort of greater consciousness why we're here? What ails us, and how do we get out of pain and suffering?
There's so much chaos happening in the world right now. It feels like we're on the precipice of World War III, and we get a perspective about the evolution of the planet that can really change our perspective on what's happening.
What am I supposed to be doing? Where's this all going? It seems like there's dark forces. What's going on? Are we ever going to get out of the mess that we feel that we're in, personally, politically, globally? Well, today we've got someone who is open to answering all of those questions and more. We've had Lee Harris on the podcast before. He's a globally recognized spiritual teacher, intuitive, and best-selling author. But today he's going to be channeling the Z's. That's his spirit guides that have been speaking to him through clairaudience for decades. Lee is going to absolutely blow your mind today with the way that the Z's interpret our questions and with his own reflections about what it's like to channel, where the information is coming from, and how we can use it to find hope, whether we're suffering personally, globally, in our communities. It's an unbelievable opportunity for us to get to hear Lee channel, and we're so excited to welcome him in person. So, Lee Harris, welcome back to The Breakdown.
Hello.
We're so excited to have you here for a second time. I think one of my favorite stories about how you got here the first time was that you thought you were being punked when our producer reached out. But indeed, we were and remain so fascinated with your story, how you got to the place that you are. We're going to be having a very special episode with you today in that we've asked you to channel the wisdom of the Z's. We've never had anything like this in person. We've had people in, you know, deep states of contemplation and thought, but we've never had this experience. And we're so grateful to you that we can bring this to our audience. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
If people do not know who the Z's are, can you...
Or who Lee Harris is.
Can you set the table a little bit about what we're about to experience?
Sure. So I met my guides at the age of 23. I was on the London Underground. I was going to work, and I was, from the age of 16, I had been studying metaphysics and I'd been in personal development. I'd heard about channeling, but it wasn't something I was interested in. And it was something I had some skepticism about. But it happened to me. And so I had this ongoing series of conversations with them for months. Once I'd established they were my guides, you know, I was like, who are you? What is this voice? Because it was very different to my own mental voices or my own judgmental thoughts.
Yeah. And just to sort of like slow this down a little bit, you're on the
London Underground.
You're on the subway, and literally all of a sudden you hear a voice insert itself into what was previously a conversation you were having in your head about a relationship. 100%.
Yeah. I was going through my own thoughts, self-doubts, negative self-talk, and still to this day where I hear them, and it's different for every person who communicates with guides, but the position for me is here. So it's about this high above my head. I don't know if I've gone too high for your camera, but it's about, I guess, 12 inches above my head to the left is the point at which I hear them when I am speaking to them. When I am channeling, as we're about to, normally I will hear the first sentence. I will repeat the first sentence, and then I'm no longer hearing something. It's just kind of coming through. I'm then kind of sat behind, so I can still hear everything that's said. I'm not in a out-of-body trance.
Right.
But that's the mechanism when I'm letting them work to speak through me.
So I've been reading a book on the science of channeling.
Mm.
It's very, very interesting, I'm sure. You know many things intuitively that for those of us who don't have access to this, you know, we want to understand it. But just to sort of be clear, you were not having auditory hallucinations. You had no other symptoms of any clinical mental health crisis. You distinctly were having some sort of auditory information that then felt like a download. Information
yes.
dropping in without you necessarily feeling you're in constant labor over that.
It was almost as if there was this, they're a group, although I hear them as one voice. It was almost like there was this person up here that was able to just talk to me for the first time. And they said, I had heard them until I was six, but I have no memory apart from a recurring dream I had all my childhood.
What was the dream?
The dream was...
that a group of beings were speaking to me.
I was born in Birmingham, which is in the center of the UK, but we left there to move down south when I was 6 years old. And this dream went on until I was about 10 years old, that it was the only recurring dream I ever had. I'm in the house, the up to 6 years old house, and I come down the stairs and I walk into the living room we had. And do you remember back when we were younger, televisions would go static at like 12 at midnight. Mm-hmm. There would just be this sound. So I walk into the living room and all I can hear is static, really loud static, from the television. And on the left hand of the room, there is a male figure, but I can't make out the face or the features, with kind of a long, kind of, I guess it could be a robe, but I'm not sure. And he has his hands here and his mouth is going like this, like he's obviously saying something, but I can't hear him because of the static. And over on the other corner of the room is a female figure who, it's kind of like she has a huge blonde afro, but it's not quite an afro, but that's how big her head, not her head, but what's emanating her hair. And she's doing the exact same thing. And I'm just standing there trying to hear them both. And I can't hear a thing because all I can hear is...
That's what I sound like to Jonathan
right.
when I talk.
So
was a recurring dream.
A recurring dream. The only recurring dream I had as a child. And I only put all this together later. And then I asked them and they were like, yes, that was a form of us. And you were in communication with us. They said it would have been very inconvenient for my life
if they had stayed in communication with me. So they left at the age of 6. And funnily enough, all the reasons I had to go to personal development work and heal started from the age of 8. So from the age of 8 to 16, when I started to go back towards finding myself, that was when all of my own self-destructive behaviors took place.
Do we all have different guides and the Z's are just the ones that speak through you?
Yes, they have said that we all have guides, we all have angels. Not everybody is going to come to know them, but we're all working with a team. Our idea of individualism is a myth. And how they explained it to me, because I'd only heard of like a channeler that was channeling one being or one angel. That's all I knew when I was that young. But what they said is we're a group. But they said as a group, we can also communicate with any other being that we need to communicate with to bring the right information to you, which is why they said, think of us as a consciousness library. They said, but you are no different as a human. They said, you are a composite of all the people you've ever interacted with, been influenced by, experienced. And so that made sense to me, even though that was the first time I'd ever really encountered anything like that.
Okay. What is the difference between a spirit guide and an angel?
My understanding, and I'm not an expert, I don't spend days and days researching this stuff, but my understanding is angelics are very much here for healing, balance. They bring grace. They give us, they help us to live in times of crisis. They will get closer to people when they're going through health crises or emotional crises. They will try and bring signs and illumination to us to get us back to the light if we've gone into the dark for a healing period. Guides tend to be more informational. They aren't necessarily working with your energy field the way that angelics will. And angelics in general tend to be a little less verbal. I remember, so I had a partner who since passed, but he would ask lots of questions when I was under the channeling state. And this is 20 years ago. And we still have all those recordings somewhere. And at one point he was, different beings were coming through from my group. And when the two of the angels that work with me came through, they really didn't like it here. I remember very vividly from the recording, they were going, it's so dark here, because they were inhabiting my body and they were seeing through my eyes. I used to have my eyes open when I channeled, and then I realized it was A, leaking too much energy, and also when I did it at workshops, people would get very fixated on my eyes. So I found it was a distraction, and I, for my own energy containment, I thought, oh, I've got to stop. I can do the open-eyed, but I don't.
So angels, when you say they're less verbal, they're kind of working, not in the shadows, but they're kind of working behind the scenes, uplifting energy, helping people heal.
I am wary to say that because I am sure there will be people on the planet who speak to their angels and they translate angel messages. So I don't want to make a blanket statement here. What was described to me was that the angels that work with me are here for energy balance, but they aren't necessarily the ones that are giving me information. Zachary, who is the name of the lead spokesperson for my guides, and that crew, there are a number of them in that group who are verbal with me, but they also explained of this group of 88, there are energy engineers who work with your energy system, and there are those who balance your health. So apparently, for all of us, we are just connected to that web of spirit. And I'm someone who accesses it through channeling and through focusing my intuition there. But I've met other people who are just living there the whole time, and they're not very on the earth. I'm more of a hybrid, so I can access the spirit realm, and I live very intuitively, but I'm also in the human realm. So I'm kind of between the two worlds.
Before we meet the Z's, before we get channeling, which I have a lot of questions, I think people want to understand a little bit about like the function structure of what's happening on the other side. Now, of course, I'm not asking for the absolute details, but can you share a little bit more about like what you understand? For example, some people think that guides and these types of guidance are future human civilizations that may be 3,000 plus years ahead of us. And there's a whole you know, collection that are trying to guide Earth in a way to help avoid pitfalls that other civilizations have made. Other people think it's just a collective energy. Do you have a sense of where this information or where these entities' consciousness live, reside, and what their intention is?
Yes. So they have explained to me that essentially, in many ways, they are a higher council from my higher future self, which is true for many of us, as in we have kind of essentially descended into human form from that realm of consciousness. However, they've also explained they are individuals, like some of them have been incarnate on Earth before. Not all of them, but some of them have. But it's more the former, from what I understand, or at least from what they've explained, that we are at this time in history where we are coming out of a kind of quarantine, where we were held apart from our true origins. They often speak about our galactic origins. They say we've been given a story of Earth that is limited in scope, deliberately limited in scope by those who wanted us to be limited. And that we're now in a period of history where consciousness has risen to such a degree that it's all beginning to fall apart. And we are seeing the shadow fight harder to drag us backwards. But we are also seeing consciousness and light rising through more and more of us who are waking up.
That's a lot of what is tackled in Future Human, which we'll do our own version of, you know, conversation with you today and with the Z's. But this notion of we're at a new place for the human body. We're at a new place for the human mind. Relationships are shifting. Our relationship to gender, like our relationship to consciousness itself, is shifting. That's part of the evolution that we all seem to be in, whether you call it a collapse of Western civilization or whether you call it, you know, quantum computing, right, coming to take over, well, the things that it takes over. One of the things before we ask you to sort of get into the zone, I feel like, you know, when you're about to get a massage and the person explains to you what's going to happen, I feel like that's what's happening. Like, tell us what's going to happen next. So will you explain the process by which you drop into this place that is different than this place? Walk us through what the massage is going to be like.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it's going to be like for you or what it's like for me or both?
I'm most interested in you.
She wants to know if she can keep her clothes on.
No, I'm curious if you can just talk a little bit practically. You know, is there a mantra that you're reciting? Are you going into a meditative place? Are you like saying like, yo, it's time for mind balance breakdown? You know, what does it look
like? Great questions. The biggest, weirdest thing for me about becoming a channeler was I thought that you surely had to have purified yourself for 10 years. No, really, I really thought you have to be at an ashram and you have to be enlightened. And I, even though I was spiritual and I was educated at that point, I wasn't those things. So in the same way that I can be sat with you now and I can literally turn my attention to, and I mean, I don't do this because right. I've learned how to live without doing that. But I could turn my attention to them and go, what does Maya mean? And they would say to me, they would give me an answer. I don't tend to do that when I'm
That's an amazing game to play, to try and help us understand what she's talking about.
Right. But you also, I think the bigger reason I don't do that is I think by learning from them over the years as I have, they've got me into a place where I'm more capable of being intuitive in the moment, and I also need to learn my own lessons. So there are times I could go to them and I don't, because I need to figure it out for myself in real time.
Because you have to have an identity that's separate from that relationship.
But the minute I sit down and type, so I could have this morning sat and typed, what's going to happen with Mayim and Jonathan today? And they would have given me a few paragraphs. And invariably, it always works.
But they didn't know I'd do this right now.
They did. They told them.
Maybe they didn't know.
But that wouldn't be a concern for me. You doing that doesn't bother me. It would be if I had concerns about what was going to happen here.
They would help you navigate.
I could go to them and go, I just need some reassurance. Is this all kosher? Are we good? But then as for now, with channeling for you guys, I'll go back to when I first channeled for a group. I remember being absolutely terrified, and I remember feeling so altered afterwards. Now it's got to the point that my main experience of it is, especially because we're probably going to go for an hour or more, I will probably feel a little out of it for an hour or so afterwards. It will take me about an hour or so afterwards to just kind of come back into my fully grounded body, and I will get hot and my armpits will be sweating after about, you know, it depends on how long, but yeah, I will get hotter. Yeah,
and
my
then,
temperature will
so
rise.
So once we are having this conversation with the Z's, how do we get out of it? Like, do we say to you, like, cut?
No,
stop it.
Here's the thing. It's shockingly normal. Like, okay. It's like you were in a normally, and this may be different today. Usually they will say something to you at the beginning. That's normally how it starts. They usually have something to say.
Okay, I'm ready.
And then they will say, you know, what questions do you have for us? And then once or twice when I've done a longer interview, they have stopped it. Like, they've got to a point where they've gone, okay, it's time to, and that's usually because of my body. It's not because of them.
They don't have other pressing commitments. They need to get to it. They don't double stack their schedule.
We cleared the day for you. Don't worry. Yeah. Yeah.
Do they ever have questions for us?
Good question. I have known them question people. And back when I used to do private sessions, I did them for 15 years. I would work with people intuitively for more than half of them. And then usually the last 20, 30 minutes would be them, the person and the Z's. And that combo was a good combo. And sometimes they would ask a question.
She has a lot of information that she could share if they wanted.
Yeah, the information isn't that important to them.
No, I'm not important to them.
Because information is not... Here, I think we often want to understand things. Mm. So for them... No, I've never experienced them.
This is actually unidirectional. Yeah, but this is actually a very interesting point that can help clarify something. Channeling, if I understand, and correct me if you see it differently, you're actually opening a frequency.
100%.
You're actually bringing in, we're using words, but what's actually happening and why I think you're getting hot like that is that your body becomes this vessel for an other energy that you may be hearing intellectually something, but what's actually happening is on an energetic level, you are changing in some way.
I believe the function of a channeler is to serve as a bridge for someone else to access their own soul, their own intuition, their own messages. I didn't know that, but now I've done this for 22 years. I have seen, the function of this is to put people into their own intuition. It's not to glorify the channeled being or the channeler. It's not to get super obsessed with the information. Because here's the thing about channeling. It becomes a rabbit hole. Every question you ask, you then get four more questions because it's endless. So they will keep answering your questions, but I believe the function of it, in my experience and witnessing people who are drawn to it, is they want to come into resonance with their own intuition, their own soul. And I've noticed people who repeat going to channelings or going to intuitives, they're actually beginning to normalize it in their own life so that they can find their own relationship to it. That's my observation. Yeah.
I think that's a super helpful clarification as we embark on this.
I'm assuming you're used to being observed in this process, right? Like, we can look at you?
Oh, yeah, you can look wherever you want.
Okay.
I'll have my eyes closed. So I'm not aware where you're looking. So you do whatever you want.
Okay.
And it normally shouldn't take longer than a minute, maybe, for them to start.
Okay.
Good. A pleasure to be here with you. We are aware that this conversation is to be a gate opening for you, are the gatekeepers for others to their own, we would call it higher knowledge in Earth terms, but we will say cosmic knowledge. When you are aware of your cosmic origins, you are more connected to and tapped into the frequency of telepathy, the frequency of healing, and other realms, the realms beyond what you can see as a human whose senses have not yet opened to the realms of the soul. They are still fixated on the human game, as it were. So we are aware that you are here on the planet at this time, among other reasons, to be gatekeepers for this knowledge. Not that you are holding anything back, but instead your own curiosity, but also your own past lives equip you to bring this information and bridge this information. Jonathan has had many lives where healing has been his way. And Mayim, you come from many lifetimes in scholarly roles. So for you, being a scholar, being a student, and also being a teacher has been a big part of your work on Earth. It is why you were gifted with the voice and communication in the way that you were. You had a brave heart around communication, like many on Earth who come here with a gift that costs you a lot at certain times in your earlier life until you learnt to stabilize more of your own sensitivity so that you could stand in the power of leadership that you have. Jonathan, for you, it has been almost the opposite process. You have been slowly coming into your outer expression over the years. Your inner expression was always very strong, very intact, and very sensory. But your outer expression has been something you have been developing. So you also wanted to bring through this information for others at a time and a period in history that is very challenging and difficult to discern what is true, what is not. And of course, the truth is always personal and perspective based. But you are also doing this conversation today and all of the conversations you do at a time in history where manipulation and lies are becoming both more exposed, but also more problematic on Earth. So this is an urgent time on Earth in terms of people coming to know their own truth, their own power, and the power of this collective to shift you all forward into a brighter timeline other than the one that you are being offered right now by those in control and in power. So we will not say too much more, for we are aware you have a lot of questions for us.
One of the questions I have is, it definitely feels like we're in a very precarious time in history. Truth,
safety,
privacy, the emergence of artificial intelligence. What is your view of this era that we're in, and where can we look to find hope?
You are in what we would call a storm period on Earth. You are having both the emergence of what we would call galactic technology appear on Earth. The emergence of this technology has been, shall we say, hidden from you, scrubbed from your history books, taken out of the records. So for many humans, this seems a surprisingly fast time. But for those who are aware of some of the technology that has existed for a long time, that has been suppressed or hidden, it is not as fast as you would think. And in fact, we will say the decade between 2030 and 2040 will be a lightning speed. In many ways, you are getting used to that now to 2030. But you are, we will call it, at a convergence point where many timelines can occur at once on Earth. And that is what makes this period of history new. Certainly for those of you who have only experienced Earth in the last 200 to 300 years. Yes, you have. None of you have lived that long in human bodies, but your lineage, your parents, the grandparents, those who came before you, which you do all tap into when you first are born onto the planet. You do take on certain codes and energies from your lineage. But for those of you who are living now, you are living in a time where multiple timelines are allowed to exist at once. And a timeline is both a possible future, but is also the life or the world that someone is living in. So, for example, right now, there are some who are living on higher timelines on Earth. And what this means is they are experiencing more peace, more harmony. They are more in the future where more of that has been allowed to land and be created on Earth. Then there are others who are in what we would call a hellish timeline. Your word, not a word that we perhaps use in the same way as you would, But they are going deeply into the suffering as part of their experience on Earth, but also to illustrate the suffering that certain facets of humanity, and we would say non-humanity, like to instill upon other humans. And there is a story you've all been sold about how war is normal, and it is not. It is the small few at the top who benefit from war, and they drag everyone else with them. War is always about control, manipulation and power, and humans have been fed a story that going to war will keep them safe, and in fact it is the opposite. So you are at a time in history where multiple timelines are happening all at once, and what this also brings back is the fall of prior civilizations. It is why some of you are having doom dreams right now, seeing tidal waves engulf the earth or parts of the country. We understand what these dreams are signaling to many of you, and what we have said is there are going to be, of course, certain disasters on earth during this period of time. We have always talked about this, and we are not the only ones giving you this information. However, psychically, what many of you are tapping into is metaphor. You are tapping into the metaphor of the washing away of an old world that you once knew. And this is very challenging for you, because even if you are intuitive and soul-based, your human body doesn't necessarily understand that the future is coming. So it sees what's going on in the present, and it only can react to the lack of safety, the fear that might run through your body, and also the memory in your soul of what it was like the last time a civilization went down and you were here. So, what you are actually cycling through, and this may be a surprising or controversial take for some of you, you are cycling through a lot of darkness very fast so that it doesn't need to play out. Now, we understand that when you look around your planet right now, you see a lot of areas of darkness, and you see a lot of archaic cultural imprints that are destroying other humans, parts of the land, in the name of whether they call it religion or political safety. None of this is coming from oneness. None of this is coming from where you originate from. And there are some humans who embody a heart of darkness or a wound, and they help push that agenda. But there are also non-humans for whom this agenda serves, because you are galactic as a world, not just human and not just Earth. And that is the other thing that is about to be exposed on Earth in these years you are experiencing right now. And of course, it has already been exposed. Many of you ask about when will disclosure happen. It has been happening for a very long time. It is just becoming more mainstream now.
There's so much in what you've shared. Are there demonic forces playing out that are driving some of the conflict?
We would not call them demonic, but you have been asked to label them as demonic. And one of the things that you are often encouraged to do with demonic forces is not to figure out how to defeat the demonic forces, but instead to be in fear of them. In fact, even this that is happening right now, there will be those who will accuse Lee of channeling demonic forces. And that is part of the script that you were all fed in order to get you away from exploring your wider reality. And that is fine, but the demonic forces do not see themselves as demonic, but they are here for resources. So they do not have compassion or care for humanity or any species on Earth. They are here for the resource of Earth. There is a, we will call it, fight between many different groups for control of Earth. It is not one. So any of you who are out there thinking there is one group that you all need to be afraid of, no, there are multiple vying for control. And the positive of this is, in many ways, they annihilate each other. So this is why it will look very dark for a short period of time, or very dark things might play out for several weeks or even months. And many of you will think, now we are doomed. But you will see during these coming years that things will get circumvented. Things will change very fast. Something that looked very, very, very troubling for all of you. We're not saying it will not wreak havoc or cause some damage, but it will switch. Such is the nature of energy now, because Earth is not supposed to go down a backwards dark path. And there are enough benevolent forces galactically that will not allow that to happen.
I think people want to feel the presence of a galactic force guiding Earth in its process of evolution, meaning we're recording this at a time where it feels like we're on the brink of a World War III and everyone is terrified for that. And when I hear this darkness is playing out, I imagine that so many people are seeing what's happening and worried about this escalation. Can you talk about some of the support that is available trying to help humanity move towards a higher timeline, something that has more openness, connectivity? How do people maintain hope right now that there is a brighter future?
Well, there is a frequency war playing out on Earth. And in fact, World War III could have taken place in 2011, 2016, 2021, and 2025. And what you are seeing right now, because this is what you have to understand, the amount of you that can be encouraged to fear World War III are the amount that will help make it happen. You see, you have to get people on board. This is the part that is hard to explain. We understand that when you are human beings looking at this through your single focus, you tend to see a world where you think you are being ushered through all of these things, whether you like it or not. But actually, it is collective consciousness that will both help create or help divert away from that kind of war. So yes, there are cultures and beings on Earth that are still playing out old, archaic darkness. Slavery is essentially what's at the root of it. The idea of enslaving others, the idea of using others and their energy as a resource rather than as a sovereign soul that you are in relationship to, that is at the heart of all of this. And so right now, why World War III is very appealing to some of the powers that be is they can get control of the people. So if a world war breaks out, then it helps them put in place the control systems they would like to see so that essentially slavery can become a slightly more, shall we say, appealing or hidden facet in your society. You won't know that's what's going on, but we would argue that's already happening on some level. But there are enough who are now awake, who are not only building a different future, but there are many strong, or what we would call activists, who are also very activated now. And they are intelligent, and they are beings who have sat across the table from these warlords in other lifetimes. So they are not afraid of them. In fact, they know exactly who they are. And in this lifetime, they have chosen a different path, and they have chosen to work on behalf of the light. So there are many, many souls who are ushering in the opposite to World War III. But you are correct that World War III is a desired outcome for many. What we will say is war brings profit, resource, and power. And those are three things that these beings who drive forward are most interested in, which is why it is also important that your people wake up more and more to see this. And we understand, as hard as things have been, we will say particularly since 2020, as hard as things have been to go through, it has become very clear from our perspective that you are constantly being prevented from experiencing global catastrophe. It has been slowed down at every turn so that there is enough time for more people to wake up and ask the question, hang on one second, that thing we were just told was keeping us safe did not actually keep us safe. And the more people are learning this, communicating this, and this is where the internet has been a very good thing, and it's also why certain countries shut down the freedom of access to it, is it has been a way that you have been able to work as a hive mind. You have been able to share with each other information, video footage of corruption that should not be taking place, or at least you are told it doesn't take place, but it absolutely does. We have said for a long time that politics is a very low vibration system because of the corruption within it. There are still those who are trying to go in there with the light and bring light, bring change. But actually what needs to be seen and exposed is the shadow. And yes, you said this is being recorded in the early part of the year of 2026. And it is true that more and more is coming to light for people to see the distortions, the corruption. And it is a very sobering time for most people, for there is a heartbreak, a trauma, and a grief they have to work through as part of this process. Even those who have heard this kind of information for decades, it is another thing in the body to feel the nervous system of the collective who are now walking through this shock and this wake up into a reality that many people did not even believe could be possible.
I feel struck by this intense sense of sadness in this moment that I don't know that I've ever felt on the podcast. And it kind of hit me out of nowhere in a way. And it feels like this sadness that we're going through something that we don't have to, meaning that we're all climbing and crawling and scratching at something and we're playing out this trauma loop, but there is another version. And I want to talk in a minute about the personal work that each one of us can do. But I'm struck by this dichotomy that the world seems to be caught in, which is there are bad actors in the world, and therefore we have to dominate those bad actors before they dominate us. We have to stop nuclear proliferation before they use it against us. How do you get out of that trap?
They lie to you about nuclear. So there are many lies you are told to keep you conforming. And this idea that there are, shall we say, conflicts between countries, the conflicts are not as great as you might think. The agendas are often quite similar. The public are told one thing. So, this intense sadness, let's start there, this is important. It is good you feel the sadness. It is sobering to wake up to a world that is not quite what you thought. But here is the piece we want to explain. The sadness, the shock, the anger, the rage, the depression, the feeling of hopelessness, these are all temporary. These are all feelings you will move through that will move through your system. And we would not discourage you to feel those things when and if they come. That is part of the change process and metamorphosis that you go through. Lee will not mind us sharing this, but 20 years ago, when he was first privy to some of this information, it took him a year or a year and a half to recover to some of what he had learned. But here is the other side of it. You are alive right now, and there are absolutely millions and millions and millions and millions of you around the world who are here to create a different vibration and here to create a different world. Before you incarnated, you knew exactly the time you were coming for. Now, as a human, we understand that the amnesia that you tend to embody as a soul when you come here is part of the program. But it was always designed that Earth was to be, shall we say, a playground or an experimental place for the growth of consciousness. And there have been times on Earth where that has been attempted and it has fallen. But this is a time where we will say the shackles are off. Because of what is going on historically, many of you look at what is playing out and you only see the horror. Now, firstly, let's talk to you about the First and the Second World War. There was progress after both of those. So we understand that when you are in a time where World War III is being threatened and pumped into your media system, which is how they get you, we understand the fear as you are looking at that, and we understand the heartbreak as you watch brothers and sisters around the world senselessly lose their lives because of these political power resource games. But you must also understand that after each war, there has been transformation. So, the sadness you might feel comes from a sense of powerlessness around the system you thought was keeping you safe, was holding you in place. Within that system, there has been the flourishing of human consciousness. So we do not want to paint a picture that's all bad here. We are speaking to you about the behavior of certain individuals around the world whose goal it is to create a different reality on Earth, but they are far outnumbered by the rest of you. And also by those who are not inhabited in a human form right now, this conversation being one of the many examples around the world, and it doesn't always take place with words. Energy and frequency play a part. The Earth is a magnificent planet. It's a magnificent planet, and there are aspects about Earth that none of you yet know that are not allowed to be known at this time. And even we have, shall we say, guardrails around which pieces of information we are allowed to reveal at which time. Not because we are withholding anything from you willingly, but because exactly what you just said, Jonathan, you feeling that intense sadness needs to be metered. There needs to be time for you to process and catch up with this experience, as is true for all humans. So pieces get revealed at a time. What we are trying to tell you here is we understand that the darkness is distressing. We understand that seeing that the world you thought you were living in might not be the one you want to see. However, we will go back to the truth. You are creating it. This conversation is not creating darkness or depression. It is here to create possibility, even if it is a little sobering for some people as we are having it. And those who do not want to believe it will just reject it. They will reject us. They will reject Lee. And that is fine. That is what they are supposed to do. You do not need to get on a timeline that you do not fit with. You need to be on the timeline you are here for, because everyone is playing their role. But for you, as someone who cares, and as someone who does not want to think that there are dark forces in the world, we would equate it to the part of you whose heart breaks when you hear about a terrible act of violence from one human to another. Perhaps it's a friend of a friend that you hear it happens to, and you simply can't make sense of it. You think, how in a world where so many of us just want to love each other could another human do that to another human? It is not yours to understand, because they are running a very different script through their energetic system. They are playing a different role. They are playing a different game. But it is for you to come to terms with, and when you have come to terms with it, you will double down on the part of you that wants to be here to bring light, hope, and positivity. Hope is not a falsehood. Hope is an energy that people build from. Hope is not just a soothing, placating energy, not at all. Hope is a future timeline that you can make possible. So hope and care for others is a very powerful force on Earth. They want you to think love is not possible. That is why you never see love in your media. You never see love in your media. Occasionally in your media, you will be shown occasional small positive things to keep you hooked. But 80% of mainstream media will show you fear-based negative things. Why? Is that the life most of you are living? No, if you are not living in a war zone, you are not necessarily experiencing an 80 to 90% negative life. If you are not going through extreme suffering or trauma in your life, you are not experiencing that. Yet your media wants you to see those things. Why? To keep you scared about your life and about your world. And that is how control happens. That is how control happened in 2020.
I'm struck by this notion of, you know, wanting to surround myself in love, in hope. You know, many of us are getting off social media. These are, I think, for many of us, positive moves. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around things that come to light which reveal a very deep sickness. And I'm going to use an example from our current, you know, political sphere. For many of us, when we learned about the reach of Jeffrey Epstein, and when we learned about the global agreement that was made among so many in power, and the comfort with which so many people all over the world were with ease, and by the position that they've been placed in to denigrate other people, the reach of that feels overwhelming. The scope of that network feels absolutely unbearable. And many of us dismiss that as conspiracy when people would say it. For decades, I've been pushing that aside. And to learn of the reach of that kind of sickness, it feels like more than we're being asked to bear, to know that exists in the world. How do we separate ourselves from something like that?
Because the corruption was hidden by your power systems. So it is a fall from grace in many ways. And we will say there are those within your power systems who were not working on behalf of the darkness. They were working on behalf of the light. The other thing we will say to you is those players in that, shall we say, story or situation, we are not saying it is false, but we are trying to find the best term for that situation. There were far less of them, far less of them than there were victims. So in fact, the level of victimhood that a small amount of individuals were able to create is what should also draw your attention. There were also many who were what we will call used in that story. There were many who were photographed or whose names were recorded deliberately so that when the reveal came of what was really playing out behind the scenes, they could implicate many who were not necessarily involved, but it was both an insurance and a security blanket and also a way of blackmailing and bribing people. This is why, and we are going back to something you asked Lee on the last conversation you had. You asked him a question about those files, and he told you, because he heard our answer, that it was a smokescreen. And the reason that is being given to you is not that the story isn't true, not that what took place isn't true, but you have to ask yourself, why are you being asked to look at that now when that information has been available for years and years and years and years and years? So why that is revealed and what is taking place while everyone is focusing on that is where your attention needs to go. So you see, we understand, and we have always said, and we are not the only voice of this, there are many voices around the world, both channeled and non-channeled, that have been saying this for a long time, that this was going to be a period of history where your collective were going to be shocked by what they learned, and it would not be an easy process. The term conspiracy theory is a wonderful way to make someone feel like they are, the word would be crazy, insane. It is a wonderful label to place onto anything that often has at least a seed of truth in it, and in many cases is very true. But it seems so illogical and so different to the story you've all been told that dismissing it as a conspiracy theory is the best case in action, the best case in point. So we understand. Let us back up a little bit here. It is not our goal or our intent or our desire for this conversation to be upsetting, triggering, or disempowering for others. However, when you first come to this kind of information or the files you are speaking of, it is very hard if you are a feeling sensitive person to not go through the feelings. We refer to this as the purge. Even those who have known some of these theories for a long time, when they come to light and they hit the collective nervous system, at least the collective nervous system of those who are willing to look, willing to understand, willing to look into the details, it is quite the release on the body, because the body has to catch up with the idea that they've been in an abusive relationship they didn't know they were in. But like all abusive relationships, when you go through the transformation of an abusive relationship and you actually start to heal the parts of you that found yourself in the abusive dynamic, what you come to is your own inner power. More and more of you are coming to your own inner power. And we will put it this way. The dark only has so much power, and that is very hard for some of you to believe, because the darkness clearly has its fingers in so many pockets of your world and has been able to run amok and do abhorrent acts to other human beings, and not just human beings. There are other species on the planet who suffer greatly. But what we will say here is, you are often told a story, and it comes through your religion many times, that the dark is something you should be afraid of because it is all powerful. And we would say that that is what the dark wants you to think, so that you are too afraid to realize that your light is more powerful. So you all chose to incarnate to this planet at a time that it was about to go through one of the biggest transformations in thousands and thousands and thousands of years of Earth history. You were coming back at a time where what we will call the quarantine for Earth is being lifted, which means the shadows get revealed so that the transformation can take place.
Is that what COVID was?
COVID was the first, we will call it, warning sign and exposure of who to believe and who not to. And this is the important piece. Look at that. Look at what took place in 2020 and look at how many of you were willing to fight each other. Look at how many of you were understandably in fear, and some of you took different sides during that whole experience, but you did target each other. There were those who were dubious about what was going on, and they were targeted by others who believed fully everything they were told, and they were ostracized. And now some of those people are more vindicated as more has been revealed about the truth of what you were told by your power systems and what was actually true.
We're going to hit pause here on our conversation with Lee Harris as he channels the Z's, but there's a lot more in part two. So make sure that you tune in for part two of our conversation with Lee, where we continue to ask the Z's, what are the dark forces that seem more exposed than they've ever been here on Earth? What is the resistance to the darkness that we can be a part of to make our lives and the lives of the entire population better?
We also tackle why we don't want all the systems to crumble overnight and how it has to be a gradual process to create the next version of the world that we all want to live in.
Also, what does it mean to be a light warrior, and can you be part of hope, love, and an eventual solution to what we are suffering right now?
We also tackle, are we interfacing already with intergalactic beings, and how some of our current technology may actually have been from them.
All that and more in part two of our conversation with Lee Harris. From our breakdown to the one we hope you never have, we'll see you next time.
Let the mountains talk. Let the river run. There is wisdom here. There is much to learn, there is much to know, much to understand. In this healing time, all across the land, you have heard my songs for so many years. You have laughed away my tears, you have shared my joy, you have felt my pain. In this healing time, walk with me again through these darker days on this narrow line. Help me find my way. Help me see the signs. I am not afraid. I am not alone. You have taught me well. You have brought me home. Let the mountains speak. Let the rivers run as the world awakes to the rising sun. In each brand new day, in our own
There you go. A healing time on Earth from 1995, would you believe? The late, great John Denver. He had the thought and the inspirations at that time that we needed to do something. Perhaps it is happening now. Now, here's an interesting thought. Is it possible to extend your lifetime? Cryon's been giving some message. He was on a boat going down the Nile, and this message came through.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. For those watching, for those listening, indeed, we are in Egypt. We are in Aswan, and we are in the top deck, the sun deck, of a Nile River boat, which will be leaving soon. There is, of course, the public commotion, the traffic. There is the beautiful messages coming from the mosques. Makes you feel alive here. Earlier in the day, this group went on boats of ancient design in Egypt called the Felucca. Beautiful, relaxing time. Here is the message I want to give today. Is it possible that there is life extension coming to humanity in a very different way than you think? Is it possible that there's life extension coming to humanity in a way you didn't expect? You might think that's an odd subject at this time, but this is a series of messages where I'm explaining slowly to you that this planet of yours and the consciousness of humanity on it really, truly is changing. It's a very slow change. It's a slow change, but one that has been in progress for some time. It was over 15 years ago when I first used the term, the snowball is rolling, and you cannot stop it. This was my terminology that said that snowball is your future. And it's a future you didn't expect if you would read your news or see the movies. It's a future against all odds that really truly is arriving. It is a future where humanity starts to grow up a bit, become a little more elegant, but in the process starts to love each other more from distances. Your technology is all set up for this. It's no secret that the things that are now being developed will help you to see one another in different light, to have compassion that you never had before when you see these things, to collect, perhaps, a consciousness that will indeed have an effect on every facet on the earth. Yes, even politics. All of these things I've talked about, it really is happening. One of them is the change in the reality of humanity. Now that is a hard one for me to describe to you. How can you change reality? We'll even describe it as a dimensional shift, which we have many times used as a metaphor, you might say, of a changing reality. Your reality in the countries that you have come from on this tour, that is a reality that will change, and you will see it change. For those of you who say, well, perhaps I'm a little too old to see it change, you're not getting the picture, are you? You think you're here by mistake. The ones who are listening, who are watching, you think you're here by mistake during one of the most profound shifts of all humanity ever? You're not. You're here to make some decisions if you choose to. You're here to awaken to a larger truth if you wish to. Imagine 5,200 years ago, the message of the Egyptians to those who had never heard it before. There is a creator. There is love and compassion in that creator. There is an afterlife. These were absolutely new concepts. And you got to see how long that lasted and how profound those ideas, as simple as they might be, or as complex as they became. It is now time yet again for another one of those kinds of shifts, and you will see it. What's this got to do with life extension, Cryon? There is coming a way that will be provable that you extend your life. Now, some of you listening right now will say, well, I'm really not going to be interested, but it's probably going to take me doing some things and maybe exercising or eating better or all that. I'll cover that in another channel. That's not it at all. That is not it. Then there are those who say, I love what you're saying. It's very comforting, very loving, crying, but I will go when it's time. I don't have to go through anything for life extension. I'm okay with the plan that I have now. And I would like to tell you how nice of you to say that as you sit there listening, all alive and well. But when that time comes, you will not be okay. You'll be frayed. There's going to be so much. At that moment when you take your last breath, you'll remember these words. What if that time you're okay with is tomorrow? Are you all right with that? I am telling you, there is going to be something that will actually extend your life. And it's not going to be apart from you. It's going to be within you. Homeopathy on this planet is a proven healing method, a get-well method. For hundreds of years, some homeopathy tinctures work more profoundly and faster than any drug you've ever developed with no side effects at all. And that has been proven. And if you take a look at what is going on there, you have an instruction set for your body that you put under your tongue, and your body then, pay attention, recognizes the signal. Number two, your innate starts to then work to cooperate with the instructions. It's not chemical, it's instructions. Now, if you're getting this and you understand it, what would be the next step in consciousness? And the answer is you doing it, developing your own tincture with your own consciousness that tells your body to count every other day, perhaps, or live longer, or become more healthy. This is a consciousness tincture, and it's going to extend your life. Consciousness will extend your life. Now, there are some things that you may want to think about that'll help this. You can't just think yourself well without some other things happening. Number one, there is a shift of dimensions on this planet occurring that's going to enhance your ability to do this. Did you hear that? That's number one. The second thing you should know is that you have to start listening to yourself and get out of anxiety. Anxiety in this old energy that you have, that are habits. Anxiety is a habit. You fear this, you fear this, you get anger here, you do these things and those things, not even thinking about it, because your culture promotes it. Your body receives it. Your chemistry changes. Anger, frustration, fear changes the chemistry of your body. You will not live as long, dear ones. What habits do you have that promote passing earlier? Are you getting this? All of you have habits in your life. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about consciousness that'll shorten your life. Guaranteed. Absolutely. And as you lay there dying, you'll remember this channel and you'll say, it does make a difference. I don't want to go now. I wish I had listened. I wish I had paid attention. What is the secret? What is it? It is compassion, and it is the practice of mastery and love. It is you trying your best to drop the habits of anxiety, arguing, fear, reaction, all of these things that shorten your life. But on the other side of that, when you start it, you might even say there's an angelic entity in the ethers that says, welcome home. Welcome home to the energy you came here for, both in this life and the next one. Because you are here to see the shift, work with it, understand it, and make it happen. I wouldn't give you these things if they were not so. Start listening to yourself, how you react. Look at that which you do every day and say, oh, did I really have to give that energy to this? Again, anxiety will shorten your life. Fear will shorten your life. I want you to drop into your heart, and I have a practice for you before I go. You've heard it before. Every morning, you get up and you slide your legs over. Stay there, feet on the floor, for 30 seconds. Can you give 30 seconds to your life? And then give gratitude for everything that is working in your life. That you're not going hungry. That you're able to sleep in a place that's quiet. That perhaps you have those who love you, and you know it. Gratitude for your family and what they represent to you, your lineage, perhaps even gratitude to your ancestors. 30 seconds. And then start your day. I guarantee it's going to change your day. It's hard to be in fear and anxiety when you're giving gratitude the first thing in the morning. It sets the stage of your life for the rest of your life. It's a simple exercise that leads to much more understanding of what I'm talking about. That's the message. Is it possible that life extension can be yours just on how you think? Oh, yes. And you're going to see it in the statistics soon. I'm crying in love with you all. And so it is.
This is Edgar Cayce. He's talking about the final soul mission for those of us, not me, but those born between 1945 and 1965. Just a little bit late for me, I'm afraid.
There is a question many of you have carried your entire life, even if you never put it into words. Why did everything feel so intense? Why did the world never quite fit? Why did your life seem heavier, deeper, more demanding than those around you? If you were born between 1945 and 1965, this video is not an accident. According to the spiritual readings and interpretations associated with Edgar Cayce, one of the most influential spiritual visionaries of the modern era, your soul did not arrive randomly. You came with memory, with responsibility, and with a mission that could only be fulfilled now, at this precise moment in human history. As the world emerged from war and entered the age of machines, another movement was taking place beneath the surface of reality. While nations rebuilt externally, something far older was unfolding internally. Souls carrying long spiritual memory returned quietly and deliberately, carrying unfinished work. Today, many of you are awakening to a sense of urgency you cannot ignore. This is not anxiety. It is remembrance. Stay with me, because by the end of this video, you may finally understand why your life unfolded the way it did, and why your most important work begins now. Now, let's begin. Edgar Cayce described the period between 1945 and 1965 as a spiritual threshold rather than a simple historical era. Humanity stood at the closing of one great cycle and the hesitant birth of another. Fear-based consciousness was reaching its limits, while a new awareness struggled to emerge. The souls who incarnated during this time did not come to escape this tension, they came to embody it. This generation carries a distinct inner signature. From an early age, many felt different, more sensitive, more reflective, often overwhelmed by the emotional and energetic atmosphere of the world. There was a persistent sense of not fully belonging, as if life were unfolding in a place that never quite felt like home. In Cayce's spiritual framework, this was not alienation. It was recognition. At a deeper level, these souls carried impressions of other times and other civilizations. They had witnessed cycles of rise and collapse before. They understood what happens when power overtakes wisdom and when technology advances faster than consciousness. Their discomfort was not weakness, it was awareness arriving too early in a world not yet prepared to receive it. This is why so many of you spent decades feeling out of sync, questioning systems others accepted without hesitation. Your role was never to blend in, it was to remain awake while the world slept. One of the most misunderstood aspects of this generation is the timing of its awakening. Cayce suggested that many souls born between 1945 and 1965 entered life with their deeper memory deliberately veiled. This was not punishment, it was protection. Had everything been remembered too soon, the weight of this world would have been unbearable. You needed to live ordinary lives, build families, endure disappointments, experience loss, and navigate confusion. The human experience was not a detour from your mission, it was the training ground. This explains why fulfillment often felt delayed, why your true calling seemed just out of reach, and why major internal shifts frequently occurred later in life, sometimes after 40, 50, or even 60. According to this perspective, this is the moment when the soul begins to reclaim leadership from the personality. As the body ages, the soul awakens. External ambition loses importance, while inner truth becomes unavoidable. A quiet but powerful urgency emerges, accompanied by a pull toward healing, authenticity, and meaning. This is not a crisis, it is activation. What once felt like stagnation was actually incubation, and now the time for emergence has arrived. No reflection on this generation is complete without acknowledging the pain that shaped it. Many of you carried emotional burdens that seemed disproportionate to your circumstances. Family patterns of trauma, abandonment, addiction, emotional repression or unspoken suffering often concentrated around you. In Cayce's readings, this was not coincidence. These souls were understood to have entered dense family systems intentionally, not to suffer aimlessly, but to interrupt cycles that had repeated for generations. By feeling what others avoided and confronting what others denied, you became the point where the pattern could finally stop. This is why life often felt heavy. You were not only healing yourself, you were healing backward and forward through the lineage. Cayce suggested that when a soul from this generation heals deeply, the energetic impact ripples across generations, subtly altering what is transmitted through blood, memory, and belief. The suffering you endured was not meaningless. It refined your intuition, expanded your empathy, and stripped away illusion. Pain dissolved ego structures that would have blocked your gifts. What emerged was discernment, compassion, and the capacity to perceive truth beneath appearances. You were not broken by life, you were shaped by it. Cayce was also clear that this generation did not come to lead revolutions or dominate the spotlight. Its influence is quieter and far more profound. You are stabilizers in times of chaos, anchors of consciousness during a planetary transition. Your presence alone can shift the emotional and energetic atmosphere of a space. People often feel understood around you, even when you say very little. They are drawn to your calm, your depth, and your capacity to hold space without judgment. This is not accidental. Your nervous system has been conditioned to remain conscious within density. You teach without preaching. You guide without imposing. Younger generations may not fully understand you, but they feel your authenticity. In this spiritual framework, you are the bridge between eras. You absorb the weight of a fading paradigm so that something new could emerge. You were never meant to harvest recognition. You were meant to ensure continuity of wisdom. And even if the world never applauds this role, its effects are already woven into the collective field. Now we arrive at the most important truth. Your mission is not over. In many ways, it is just beginning. As global consciousness accelerates, the work shifts from endurance to embodiment. You are now called to live visibly aligned with truth, not through grand gestures, but through daily presence. Every choice you make from awareness rather than fear reinforces the frequency you came to anchor. This phase is not about doing more. It is about being fully who you already are. When you live authentically, you activate recognition in others. You remind them of themselves. This is how transformation spreads. If you feel a growing sense that time matters, that distractions no longer satisfy, that something essential must be lived now, trust it. That feeling is the signal that your soul is fully awake. Knowing the message is one thing. Living it is another. And if this perspective resonates with you, the question becomes very real. What do you do with it starting today in the life you actually have? Begin by recognizing that your sensitivity is not a flaw to manage, but an instrument to calibrate. Your environment matters deeply. Reduce the emotional noise you absorb from constant information, unresolved conflict, and digital overstimulation. When chaos becomes a constant input, intuition feels like anxiety. When the noise lowers, guidance becomes unmistakable. Make your life smaller in the right way. Your mission is frequency-based, not performance-based. Choose one area where you commit to consistency rather than intensity. Rhythm anchors consciousness into matter. Your soul recognizes rhythm as commitment. Work directly with the patterns you were born into, not as personal failures, but as doorways. Identify one repeating dynamic and interrupt it consciously. Set boundaries where endurance once ruled. Trust the signals of your body when your mind hesitates. This generation was trained to survive. Your next level is discernment. Give your intuition a language. Write, reflect. Notice what you sense before it is confirmed. Over time, doubt weakens and inner authority strengthens. Become selective with your energy. You are not here to fix everyone or convince anyone. Your role is to embody steadiness, so those who are ready can find it. Finally, bring your mission into the physical world in one tangible form. Give it structure. Give it time. Give it presence. When you do this, the idea of a final mission stops being mystical and becomes lived reality. Your mind quiets. Your relationships clarify. Your body releases the weight it carried for decades. You begin to realize that your purpose was never waiting somewhere in the future. It has always been expressed in the way you choose to live now.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
See, everybody's saying the same thing. Now is the time when we need to do something about changing the world. We are the 99%. We don't have to rely on the 1% to tell us what to do. Anyway, what's happening at Infinity? Everything you want to know is on the website, infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. My introduction to spirit series on next Wednesday, we'll be looking at psychic drawing. So that should be interesting, shouldn't it? I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.